and be blessed.
That God is still building our lives, building our character, building capacity in our lives, in the name of Jesus. Yesterday we had a glorious time in the women's meeting. Hallelujah. I know that the wisdom of God was deposited upon as many that were in attendance. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And I say thank you, Lord, for the release of your word, of your presence, of fresh oil. And I trust that he will do same in our midst today in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I'd like to tell us a story. A story about three kings. These three kings were from three different regions. From Israel, from Judah, and from Edom. The king of Israel, as at that time who happened to be the son of King Ahab, King Jeroham, got offended because the nation of Moab, they stopped giving the hundreds of cattle, of lambs that were being given to Israel as at that time. Now, I think that's what we know as Deve now. And so he got angry and invited two other kings. The people had no business in the war. He invited King Jehoshaphat. He invited King Mesha of Edom. Jehoshaphat represented Judah. Hallelujah. He invited them into the war. Like I said, they had no business. And the scripture made me to understand that King Jehoram was still worshiping idol, had no reverence for God or respect for the things of God. But King Jehoshaphat, he walked in the path of God. Yet, more like an unbeliever invited him for war. And he joined. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 33 tells us, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good manners. He formed alliance, King Jehoshaphat, formed alliance with the king of Israel and king of Edom. Now, as kings, they were supposed to inquire before setting out for that war. But they did not. Why? Because the one leading them had nothing, no knowledge about God. And then he was leading the one who had knowledge about God. Until the seventh day, there was no water. They were tired. They were exhausted. No more strength. Before the one who didn't know God, who didn't have a relationship with God, said, did God lead us out into this war just for us to be defeated? Even the first thing when he acknowledged God, the first thing that came out of his mouth was negativity. That was when the believer, being King Jehoshaphat, said, oh, there's a prophet in Israel. And then they mentioned the name of prophet Elisha. Praise the Lord. I want to minister on the topic, digging the ditches. Dig the ditches. I'm giving us a background story because we're not going to read from the very beginning. Hallelujah. They were desperate. And then they mentioned Elisha, the prophet. And Elisha said to them, if you were the one who had called on me, referring to King Jehoram, I would not have responded. But for the respect that I have for King Jehoshaphat. And then he began to prophesy. Praise the Lord. I'd like us to turn our Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 3. That is a background story of our text. So you have an understanding. The Lord has come to help someone today. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 3, we're reading from verse 15 through to 18. But now bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played, talking about the instrumentalist, that the hand of the Lord came upon Elisha. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. For thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain. Yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hands. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, you will not see wind. You will not see rain. But that ditch will be filled with water. It's a simple thing before God. Hallelujah. I pray that the hand of God will come upon you. Wherever you're seated, whether you're in the overflow, the hand of the Lord will rest upon you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Prophet Elisha said to them, make this valley full of ditches, meaning that you have to dig to make a ditch. A ditch is a hole on the ground, a narrow hole on the ground where you store water. Praise the Lord. He says, make a ditch. Dig a ditch. Now, for every miracle that you need, or for God to meet you, your desired needs, you must prepare the ground. You must place a vessel that God is able to manifest through. Hallelujah. Now, to dig a ditch is you building your faith, is you building capacity, is you creating a vessel for God to fill in, is you creating or making room for God. Now, you can imagine those that had been fighting for more than 7 days. You could imagine how tired they would have become. They did not have strength anymore. They were then desperate for water. And yet the instruction is, go and dig a ditch. Praise the Lord. They had been so tired. Just as many of us, we are in the valley of despair. Many of us are in a valley of pain, of rejection, of confusion, of chaos, disappointment, frustration. No matter the position that you found yourself, God is saying to you, build a ditch so that I can fill you up. Hallelujah. Listen, the size of the ditch that you build is dependent on what you want God to fill up for you. If you dig a small ditch, you get something small. But when you dig something big, you're going to get something big. For example, when rain is falling and you decide to hold a cup under the rain, what you will get is just a cup full of water, no matter how heavy that rain is. But when you carry drums and drop it under the rain, as heavy as that rain is, what will happen? Those drums will be filled. Hallelujah. So if you holding a cup begins to complain, the rain is not your limitation, but your capacity is your limitation. Hallelujah. Now, what am I saying to you this morning? You want to increase your spiritual capacity. Learn to give yourself more to prayers. You want to build your financial capacity. Learn to be disciplined. Learn the principle of seed sowing. Hallelujah. You want to have the leadership capacity. Be open for correction. Be open for knowledge. Be open for learning. Hallelujah. You want to increase in your anointing. Live a life of holiness. There's no two ways about it. Hallelujah. Listen, no matter the valley that you found yourself, God is saying, exercise your faith. And faith means action. Apostle James, he says something in James chapter 2, verse 26. He says, as the body is without spirit, is dead, so is faith without works. So faith is not a response to your feeling. Hallelujah. It's not a response to your feeling, but a call to action. Glory to God. Let's look at the story of Jesus in John chapter 2. The first miracle that Jesus performed at the wedding, from verse 1. Shall we go there, please, media? On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now, both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says to you, do it." But his time had not come for him to begin to perform miracles. But for his compassionate nature, Jesus instructed. Please, let's go on. Now there were set there six water pots of stones, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Jesus said to them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Draw some out now and take it to the master of the feast." And they took it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, they did not know where it came from. But the servants who had drawn the water knew. The master of the feast called the bridegroom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The scripture says that he asked them, the instruction was to get six pots of water. And these six pots of water had over 30 gallons each. Praise the Lord. That instruction, they obeyed. They didn't begin to ask, "We don't have a vineyard around here." They did not begin to ask, "We don't have grapes around here," because you get wine from grapes. Nobody was sent to the market. They did not know where that wine came from. All that they knew was the fact that they got water. How it became wine, they did not know. Praise the Lord. They never knew how it became wine. All that they did was to dig the ditch. All that they did was to get the water pot, and then they obeyed. They made room for that miracle. Hallelujah. Now just take a wild imagination that you've, maybe you're a group of persons and you find yourself in a desert. We know that a desert is filled with only sand. That's all you see from films, from documentaries. And now maybe the person leading you says, please dig a hole. The first thing that will come to your mind is either you look around for water. You look around. You're not seeing any sight of water, but he's telling you, dig a hole because water will fill this hole. And you and I know that for water to be in a desert is by miracle. The first thing you will ask is, Oga, I hope we are okay. How can we dig to get water? That was what Elisha said to them. Dig. You don't know whether you will see window. Neither will you see the rain. But I tell you that that ditch that you have dug up will be filled with water. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sometimes faith looks foolish. Sometimes faith looks foolish before you see the power of God. The men at the wedding at Canaan would have wondered. We say wine is exhausted, and yet you ask for water. What is the relationship? Praise the Lord. In John chapter 9, let's read from verses 1 to 3 and then 6 to 7. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You know, we are always inquisitive to know the bad things that happen in people's lives. We want to know the cause. And Jesus responded, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Six, please. Six. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. I want to ask us a question. How did this man know the direction to the river? Especially when clay was upon his eyes, even when Jesus had laid hands on him. How did he see? How did he get to where Jesus asked him to go to? Hallelujah. He simply obeyed. He simply obeyed the instruction. The one who was in that valley of blindness, how did he get to the river that he was able to wash his face? Jesus only requires that small, tiny mustard seed faith. That's all that he required. And then the man, I am sure he had heard all the miracles that Jesus performed. He never asked a question. He stood up and he began to go. Now, what did this man do? He went to wash. What he was saying is, Jesus speaking to the man, show me your faith and I'll show you my faithfulness. Hallelujah. What is Jesus telling you today? What that man did was to dig a ditch. He did not know where this river was, but he walked straight to where. Could it be that his spiritual eyes were opened? Praise the Lord. How much of his help do you need this month and this year? How much of God's help do you need? He's telling you this morning, dig the ditches. Increase your faith. Increase your capacity in me. Make room for me. Hallelujah. Now, there are so many people that are waiting to see God's faithfulness in their lives, in their marriages, in their family, on their jobs. Waiting to see God's faithfulness, but they lack the faith to draw it close to them. Hallelujah. They are not ready to make room. Neither are they prepared for the miracle. But Jesus is telling someone here today, prepare for what you cannot see this year. You didn't get that. Listen, let me tell you another little story. A farmer plants a seed. And when he plants the seed, it must be planted before harvest will come. Now, in the process where he plants the seed, does he see anything? He won't see anything, but there's something happening in the ground. There's something happening in the soil. Hallelujah. Something invincible that he cannot see. He cannot even explain. That is what Elijah was saying. That you will see rain, but you will not, you will see water, but you will not be able to explain where this water is coming out from. If you're prepared to see something for that God is about to do in your life, be like the farmer that has sown a seed and let the invincible hand of God begin to walk. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, some of you are in a silent season. There is no sign. There is no movement. But hear me. Heaven is moving on your behalf. In the name of Jesus. Listen, I need you to also have an understanding that God does not, he doesn't feel wishes. I wish I can just become like this. Because when you are wishing, you're not doing anything. I wish I would just drive this big car. I wish I would just travel. But you're not doing anything about it. God feels prepared vessels. Hallelujah. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 verse 6. Jesus said, blessed are they that are hungry and thirsty. There's a hunger. There is thirst that needs to be quenched. The hunger needs to be satisfied with something. Praise the Lord. The widow in 2 Kings chapter 4. She was waiting for debtors to come and take her sons because her husband had died. She was in the valley of death. She had looked round about, nowhere to get help from. And then God sent Elijah to her. And Elijah said to her, what do you have? What do you have? Go and borrow. When she said, I have just a little jar of oil. He says, go and borrow. But how possible for someone who is that indebted, for someone who is heavily indebted, who will be willing to give her vessels? That was the first test. Go and borrow. Borrow as many vessels. Meanwhile, she was waiting for debtors to come and take her sons. What did she do? She obeyed and she left. Borrowed as many as she could. And the instruction came. Begin to feel. And she began to feel. She did not see how the oil was increasing. All she did was just to continue to feel. And when the vessels, the jars were complete, the scripture says the oil ceased. Hallelujah. Most of the miracles that we are expecting, we do not know where it's coming from. We just know that miracles take place. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you read that scripture further, 2 Kings 3, if you read it further, one of the kingdoms that set out to war, Edom, was where the water began to flow from. They were looking for rain, but God brought the water from another. So whatever you are expecting, your eyes is fixed on something, but I tell you that God is bringing it from another direction. Hallelujah. He's bringing it from another direction. Listen, abundance flows when faith tills the ground. Abundance, it flows. If you can stick, that means the faith, your faith has tilled the soil for you. Someone is saying, so how do I dig ditches? We've been talking about marriage for some time. You're praying for a life partner. Father, give me husband, give me wife. A wife after your heart is a very good prayer. But rather than just waiting and feeling sad with yourself, God doesn't want to answer me. Why don't you prepare yourself spiritually so that you can be someone else's? Hallelujah. So that you can be someone else's wife or husband. Praise the Lord. One who is ready. Praise Master Jesus. It means that you need to begin to take care of yourself. If you're a man, it means that you need to get a house. You need to get a job so that you can take care of that woman. If you are the woman, you need to begin to look inward. The characters, the things, that attitude that people complain about, and work on it. When you begin to work on your character that people have faulted, what you are doing is you are digging the ditch. You're getting yourself ready. Praise the Lord. And God will send you, when your ditch is full, God will send you that man, that woman that is after his heart. He doesn't fill up what seemed to be filled. He fills what is empty. So when you see yourself that you have arrived, there is nothing, no need to make changes. God will also be looking at you because he only fills empty vessels. Hallelujah. You want to have an encounter, then what do you do to have an encounter with God? You begin to eat the word. You soak yourself in worship. You listen to spirit-filled songs. All this is digging the ditches. You're always found in the assembly of believers. You mind where you go to. You mind the things that you engage yourself in. You are digging the ditch. You are making room for that encounter. Because you will not see the wind. You will not see the rain. But the ditch will be filled with the Spirit of God. And you are that ditch that will be filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. You're going through a tough time. Oh God, I need job settlements. I need job settlements. I have dropped my CV here and there. Nobody has called me. Nothing stops you from going to the companies. The ones that are close to you. And if no response has come, why don't you start something small? Despise not the days of little beginning. God is actually waiting for you to take the first step. Hallelujah. He's waiting for you to take the first step. Glory to God. When you start that small step, God will enlarge and increase you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, the good news in all of this is the fact that the prophet says it's a simple matter before God. So it doesn't matter what you are going through. It's a simple matter before God. You just have not dug the right size of ditch. Hallelujah. Listen, announce to your brother, your sister beside you that whatever your challenge is a simple matter before God Almighty. Your challenge might be financial pressure. Your challenge might be a health challenge. It could be family crisis. It could be ministry struggle. It could be delayed pregnancy. It could be delayed marriage. Sometimes it can be overwhelming because we are made of flesh. But hold on to the word of the Lord. It says, it's a simple matter before me. A simple matter. It is easy before me. It is not heavy before me. The way we magnify the issues, God wants us to magnify Him above that issue. Hallelujah. If God can fill a valley without rain, if God can supply water in the desert, if God can make provision without any natural means, it means what you're going through is a little easy for Him to do. Hallelujah. Your situation is not difficult. You know, there's something the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 15. Media, can you help me? It says that the nation is like a drop of water in a bucket. Yeah. Isaiah 40 verse 15. It says, behold, the nations, not even a nation, are as a drop in a bucket. Did you get that? You did not get that. Nations, territories, before God, they are just a tiny drop in a bucket. He says, and are counted as small dust. Nations, not one nation, are counted as seen as dust before God. Is your problem bigger than a nation? Is your challenge bigger than a nation? But God is saying it is like a dust. A dust. Can you even hold dust? How mighty is God? Hallelujah. So what is that you think God cannot fix? His specialty is fixing the broken things. Hallelujah. Now, God does not need a favorable condition to favor you. He can provide you with a job without you having any job connection. He can promote you without you also having any human recommendation. God can heal you without any medical explanation. I am a testimony to that. I'm also a testimony of promotion without any human recommendation. I am a testimony. So I know what I am saying. God can open doors for you without you even having the contacts. There's nothing that is impossible with God. When God moves, nature has no choice than to stand still for him. Now, the only challenge that we have, I have mentioned that, is the fact that we magnify our problem. We wear it like a cloth on ourselves. And then that's when you hear, if no be say, this my. If no be say, this my motto, they give me the trouble too much. If no be say, my headache, eh? The kind headache when I dey get. If no be, this my pikin wey won't kill me. We personalize it. And God is waiting for us to speak the right language. Hallelujah. Hey, fear they catch me. I sure say I no go get this thing. We are always expecting failure. We are always expecting failure. I no qualify for this job. No be my kind that they find. Which man won't marry me? See as I be. See as I be. Which man won't marry me? I be which woman ready to suffer with me? There's always a partner for everybody. Hallelujah. You hear believers speak. This thing is too hard, though. Oh boy, how you did? I just did like that. God, don't forget me. I don't even know as this my life they go. I know where I supposed to deal. But now that woman, where cost me for my papa land? Hallelujah. Listen, rather than speaking all of this negativity, why don't you begin to declare that my case is simple, is easy before God? Why don't you begin to declare, we've prayed about breakthrough this morning, that my breakthrough is near. You just have not seen it. Why don't you begin to declare, don't worry, between now and December, my wedding will be loud. Why don't you begin to declare that it's just a phase that I'm going through and it's not for long. You will see the hand of my God. Hallelujah. Why don't you declare it that my situation is turning around even before your very eyes? That which you think is spoiled, my God will remold it. 2 years ago, I told a sister, I said, you are here killing yourself. You're here killing yourself that, oh, your life is finished because of one man. But I tell you that the Lord showed me a clay that he was remolding. I didn't know who that person was, but the Lord said to me in that revelation, the Lord said to me, this is what I am doing for this person. I woke up not knowing who this person was, but when she came, oh, my life is finished. Oh, I am doomed. There was nothing she didn't say. And before her very eyes, in less than 3 months, God remolded that clay as he has said. Hallelujah. You are a clay in the hand of the potter. He is remolding you. You're like that farmer, not seeing what is happening in the soil. But I tell you, the hand of God is working mighty on your behalf. Hallelujah. Praise Master Jesus. You know this scripture? It makes me to know something. It's something that we usually say. That God said it. I believe it. And that settles it. That settles all that matters. If God has said, he has given me a glorious destiny, I will build myself, develop myself. Somebody said to me, say, I don't even know what I am doing with all these certificates. No one is speaking. When that certificate will speak, you'll be shocked. When that certificate will speak, you'll be shocked. And the one that you have your eyes on is not the one that will speak. That's what the Lord made us to understand. They were looking up for rain, but rain came from another region. Praise the Lord. What has God said to you? What is that trouble? You know, before I used to worry, I used to cry. You know, mothers, if you have a child that you think is not so okay, when you look at that child, you feel pity for that child. You begin to want to guard that child like a jealous hen. I used to do that with my daughter. Anywhere she wants to go, I want to be there to help, to be her mouthpiece. Before she gained admission, the Lord told me, He said she will never be stranded because I have positioned men to help her. And by the time we got to her school, a woman just picked interest in us from the queue. And when she spoke, the woman looked at her and said, she said it to her neighbor, that is like this child does not hear well. And then the woman looked at me. I heard what she said. Then the woman said to me, we have this department that they take care of children with special needs. I don't know if you're interested. And I said, oh, sure, I am. And then the woman said, okay, let me introduce you to the head. And that man took her as his child. He did not take her as a student, but as his child. Because she would tell me sometimes the man's wife will cook food and come and give. I haven't taken that injection in 22 years. Oh, she's not going to be able to have children because it's going to weigh her down so badly. This is me. Even though when I was having children, I will not lie to you, it wasn't easy. But God, and you know the funniest thing, how God works. When women are crying, they're having labor. I am gisting and talking with people, but I'm having labor. That is how God turned my own testimony. The pain that I feel when I am pregnant, when it's time for me to give birth, I will be gisting with the nurses, with the matron. And then they will ask me, are you sure you've not had a child before? I haven't. Sometimes I laugh and I ask, what is wrong with that woman? Why is she demonstrating like that? The nurse will tell me, they are just the pain. Eh? I say, but I'm also having labor. But I don't know what is happening. I don't experience such pain. When God is in your matter, it doesn't matter what the enemy say. It's a simple matter. Tell your neighbor, it's a simple matter. Oh, they say you have asthma. Asthma will not let you go. I have another testimony of one who no longer uses the inhaler. I have a testimony of what this God can do. Even the doctors in England say, this cancer, this one is cancer. It was just a simple word of prayer. And my God said, it's a simple matter. Before I went to visit, I heard the Lord tell me, all you need to do is ask her if she can testify. And I got to their house, I asked her the simple question, can you testify? She said, if I have the strength. I said, that's not the answer. Can you testify? A very simple instruction. Can you testify? If God will heal me, I say, you're still attaching condition. I need you to tell me, can you testify? She now cried out and said, yes, I will testify. And then a song welled up in my spirit. As we began to sing that song, as we began to sing, only she, no laying of hands, the Holy Spirit was doing His wonders. And when it was time for her to go and check her results, she remained in my house throughout that day. She refused to go. And then I asked, I did not know she was going to check for her results again. I gave her food in the morning, she ate. That's unlike me. You just can't come to my house and stay that long. What is the matter? In the afternoon, I now asked her, are you not going? She said, no, I've come to stay with you today. I said, why? She said, no, nothing. I just want you to be around me today. In the evening by 5, I said, this visitation, you don't pass me. You can't come to my house as early as 8, and you're still in my house 5 p.m. No, now. Please come and go. She said, are you chasing me? I said, yes. I'm sure your husband and your children are waiting for you. Come and go. She now said, okay, I will go. I've eaten your food. I have drank your water. You have encouraged me. I will go. She wasn't the one who later called. It was the husband who said, thank God I heard the Lord say, go and call so-so person. Can you imagine the results that even the doctors in London said it was cancer? We cannot find a trace of cancer. It's a simple matter before God Almighty. All God is waiting for is for you to obey that simple instruction. The instruction from God most times doesn't come as that big, gigantic building. God said it. I believe it. And that settled it. Please, let's rise to our feet.
The message you've just listened to was brought to you by Element of Carry Center International, number 6, Otokutu OPT Road, after Plantation City Estate Fence, OPT. You can worship with us every Sunday, 8 a.m., for our celebration of great service. Wednesdays are for Bible study, 5 p.m., Fridays for prayer and counseling, 9 a.m. Element of Carry Center International, a place of comfort.